Hi, hello, Wiffle Nation, and good morning. Welcome to your Thursday, April 14th, 2022 edition of the Holy Commutes Podcast Morning Radio Show. The only show in Wiffle that gives you daily content from around the Wiffle world. You can follow us on Twitter at Holy Commutes. Don't forget the E in Holy. My name is Carl Coffey, and all month long, as you know, I'm joined by Josh Smith. He created Wiffler's Digest, the Huntington Wiffle Ball League, and of course, half of the Two Wiffle Dudes Podcast. Josh, welcome back. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Carl? How's it going? Thanks for having me back.
That was fun last week with Hess Field, wasn't it?
Yeah, I enjoyed myself.
Listen, I've seen Huntington Wiffle get a little bit more active on Facebook, and I'm like, all right, is that Josh Smith's doing? Is he getting the itch again to bring back Huntington Wiffle? Josh, let us know.
I mean, there's always the will to do something, but I don't know if we have the, you know, the recipe, if you will, to make that happen, because it's more than just me. So it gets harder to bring a league back from the dead the longer it's been gone. So I don't know if that'll ever be the case. There's definitely people that reach out to me all the time that miss playing, but the ones you got. So to at least some degree, there is interest to do that, but I don't know. It's sort of the short answer there.
Fair enough. Listen, week two of this monthly series called The Leagues That Made Us. This one is very near and dear to us. The Potomac Wiffle Ball League, Josh Smith. Can you believe it? The Potomac Wiffle Ball League. And you know what, Josh? A lot of these leagues out there are known for its players. They really are, obviously. But this league, Potomac Wiffle Ball League, and you probably agree with this, it's known for its commissioner. So let me ask you, Chris Galloway, is he the best commissioner of all time?
I mean, it really just depends on what you value. If you're like me and you value contributions not only to your league but to the wiffle ball community as a whole nationally, then, I mean, what else could you expect from a commissioner than what Chris Galloway has given? I mean, it's just, I mean, he was a part of the, you know, the national, you know, stage at large for what, you know, over a decade. And he, you know, kept that league going during that entire time and gave us, you know, the National Wiffle League Association tournament. So that alone, that last point is worth putting him in that conversation for possibly the best, if I don't have a better word for it, or at least the highest achieving commissioner, you could say. Because, I mean, for one person to do so much, and that's probably the hardest thing to kind of face as a commissioner, is like, I'm only one person, I can only do so many things. And sometimes you're just sort of like fighting the tide within your own league. He ran a league. And basically, with a lot of help, but mainly just, like, idea people and with, you know, organizational stuff. But let's face it, you know, he basically, you know, conjured that tournament from nothing while running a league, which he ran very similarly. It's not like he had a whole lot of help running that league as well. He was a force. So, I mean, it's just what a presence.
Right on. And I have another Galloway question later, so I'm glad you didn't touch up on that. So, let's focus on PWL. Josh, you once showed up there to watch a Sunday, you know, day of games, correct?
Yes.
Was that a good time?
They actually did not get a chance to play because it got rained out. Oh. So the weather was not very favorable for that. This was, I think, in 2011.
Ooh, the heyday.
I want to say, yeah. So this was like really at the peak, you could say, for that league. I showed up there. It was when I was still running with Wiffler's Digest. It was not quite at the zenith of the Digest. I had already released the first article, or the first issue, I think. Not really made a lot of friends with that first article, the cover story that Ryan Winfield did for the PEDs for performance or PEBs, performance enhancing bats, did not do much except make waves for a whole sect of players. But it did kind of put the publication on the map there. But I received an invitation from Galloway to come out and watch his league, play some games and interview some players and interview him. And I'd actually did a video interview of him and spoke with him, hung out with him for the day to kind of, you know, sort of suffice and salvage the trip out there since I wasn't going to be able to watch them play their games. They did try to make up their games the next day, but it basically was a monsoon for like 4 days. But I was in D.C., he had me out there and kind of got to hang out with him for a bit. It was the next year that I got to actually photograph and be a part of the hosting committee for the NWA tournament. But I saw him later that same year at the London Whiffleball tournament and chatted with him again. So, 2011, Chris Galloway had left a big impact on me.
And you know what? They did get some national awards, and their player base got a little bit more well-known. You know, you can think of, like, the Shannon's twins in specific, and their website update, honestly. When they updated their website, it's the best I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you probably agree with that, correct?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they continue to grow leaps and bounds with their content and their website development, for sure. But that last update, they kind of got some flack because the last update happened, I think, in 2013 or 2014, and they didn't really update it again after that, and people sort of criticized them for that, and I'm like, why would you need to update it?
Yeah.
You know, what's there to update?
Here's where I'm going with this, because I think if you're asked Carl Coffey, I'd say they still feel a little bit under the radar. And so I'm asking you, Josh, maybe you have a different opinion. Do you agree that through all of this, through having one of the best commissioners, if not the best, having one of the best websites, being in one of the biggest metropolises in the country, they still were not up there with some of the leagues that got the full respect we all know? So do you think they flew under the radar, Josh Smith?
I think to a degree, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't think they got the credit that they were due fully. I don't think that they were respected on a competitive level. I think they were acknowledged, but not respected. So I think part of that is just the Mid-Atlantic region is not known for wiffle ball. I said this in one of my Holy Commutes episodes. You know, Mid-Atlantic is not known. There is the mall now for Mid-Atlantic wiffle, but, you know, individually, those states are not known for wiffle ball. There's not really a league that's known in Maryland or Virginia or Delaware or, you know, D.C. anymore. So there's not really, you know, leagues collectively in areas make noise. Indiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, places like that really breed a lot of excitement for the sport. So they're not in one of those areas. People made fun of them for playing slow pitch. They had a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit. I mean, there's slow pitch, and then there's that. So, they had umpires.
Was it really 25?
Yeah, they had a 25 or 35-mile-an-hour speed limit or something like that, and they were very strict about it. Chris, at some point, even had some sort of speedometer attached to their strike zone boards. They were always sort of fiddling with that. They had umpires at the field. And all these different things. So, I mean, they were about as legit of a league as you could be, except they were not respected for the fast pitch and all these different things. So they were not seen in that top echelon of competition. Although you can't see that with those limitations come a different kind of competitiveness. You have to find a way to be slick to rise to the occasion, to despite that limitation and handicap, to still win. So enter the Shannon brothers and all these different guys that can manage to still be elite at the national level despite coming from that kind of a league, and to really excel within that league I mean, there's still some really good teams that came out of that league. You know, the scared hitless team that came out of that league is a great example.
The barn burners.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you Blanco something, Josh. Barn burners. Let me ask you something real quick. Let me chime in. So with their format, maybe nationally it didn't. It kind of hurt them, but in terms of growth, in terms of bringing the average Joe off the street, that had to be a huge beneficial aspect of wiffle ball to be able to say, hey, listen, anyone could play this format, you know. You don't have to be able to throw 75 miles per hour to play in this league. So in terms of growth within Potomac, that was huge, right?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, to kind of answer your question, it's like they flew under the radar nationally, but they did not need – the approval of somebody in New York to understand what they're doing. They had fuck you amount of teams. They had 20 teams for many years. I mean, who cares if somebody from Kingston, New York understands what they're doing, or somebody from HRL Twin Cities understands what they're doing? It doesn't matter.
Bingo. And it kind of looks like what Orrible's doing in Northwest Indiana. With their format.
Yeah,
the league just keeps growing and growing and growing. And people can say, well, that format's kind of lame. But at the end of the day, as Josh Smith says, F you. It's working. People are playing. The league growing. We don't need the national approval, correct?
Yeah. Every area has its challenges. Chris is very, you know, he's very intuitive and understanding of, like, this is the limitation. This is what we're doing instead. Because I didn't know much about his league in Lawrence, Kansas, where he came from initially before moving out to D.C. I don't know if they played that same way or not. If they didn't, I would understand that he's definitely slick enough and savvy enough to know, well, they're not feeling this fast pitch thing. We're going to change something up. He knows to adapt.
Of course, I have next questions all about Galloway once again. And they tried. They really did try. They tried to have life after Galloway left. But, Josh, they had no chance of long-term survival after someone like him would leave, correct?
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, they had a plan. They had a deputy commissioner. And maybe 1-2 years after Galloway left, they tried to keep it going. But it died quickly. No surprise, correct?
Yeah. Sadly. I mean, it's a hard act to follow.
Of course. You know, it is. It is. All right, Josh, it's been a good episode. Like I said last week, Mount Rushmore of all-time wiffle leagues. You put Hessville up there. We have one on the mountain. Is Potomac Wiffle Ball League going to join Hessville up there? Yes or no?
I would say yes. I mean, for me personally, I mean, because I mean, this is for my Mount Rushmore, right? So, I mean, it's just...
Yes, yours.
I mean, something that, I mean, I don't know how many listeners out there have listened to me prattle on about, you know, Chris Galloway or PWL in the past, but if there was no PWL or Chris Galloway, there would be no HWL, no Huntington Wiffle League. You know, that trip that I had, I'd already folded my former league, the Garrett Drive Wiffle Ball League, the GDWL, and that's what prompted me to start Wiffler's Digest in the first place. I was done playing wiffle ball. I was done running leagues. My last league ended very badly. A lot of strife and just hard feelings about that. So I was just like, I still have a lot of love for the game. I'll write about it. I'll do that, but I will never run a league again. And then, you know, I went out there with the goal initially of writing about it and viewing the games and all that stuff and, you know, had that interview with Chris and just, it was infectious. So when I came back, I'd actually ran into him again at the London Wiffle Ball Tournament that summer when I was covering it, and I got the bug again. And the following year, started the Huntington Wiffle League with my buddy Greg and had that going for until 2018. So if it weren't for him, I would not have had another league, would not have had my hand in helping create a very small role, you know, albeit, but the NWLA tournament, I mean, I would not have gotten that second win. I owe that to Chris. That withstanding, his league was impressive. His contributions to, you know, the National Wiffle League Association tournament and just to the association at large I mean, he's just somebody who's just left a monumental impact on the sports. I mean, how could you not put him on Mount Rushmore?
Awesome. Hey, kids, let's visit the Josh Smith Mount Rushmore of All-Time Wiffle Leagues. And guess what? Has Fields up there. Potomac Wiffle Leagues up there. Let's find out later who else. So, Josh, any last words about the Potomac Wiffle League?
I wish they were still around. I mentioned them in a prior episode I did about dead leagues, about how that unless I'm mistaken, I believe that their website is still online. I'm gonna actually check. It still is. So you can still check it out at PotomacWiffleball.org. I mean, that's a testament of his efficiency. You know, that means every year Chris Galloway is paying to keep that website. They haven't had a season since 2017, yet he still does it. Why? Why not?
All right. Next up tomorrow, I'm not sure who will be hosting. You know, we had Skyler last Friday. It could be Skibby, Tompkins. Who knows? But, you know, Fridays this month are going to be a hodgepodge of hosts. That's the way it goes. So remember, this is the only show in football that gives you daily content from around the whole world. You can listen on Spotify, iTunes, Podbean. Or anywhere else you get to see your podcast. So, Josh Smith, I'm Carl Coffey. We'll talk to you next time. Stay safe out there. See you.